Blog Talk Radio.
What's that? Hello, and welcome to Beauty for Ashes. I'm your host, Prophet Kyle Miller. The Bible says in Isaiah 61:3 that the Lord Jesus will give us beauty for ashes, an oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So basically that means that no matter what situations are going on in your life, no matter what trials, tribulations, or things that you're encountering, that God has a good plan for your life, and he's going to do good things for you. So with that being said, I want to say thank you for listening, and I was actually having a few issues at the beginning of the show, and for some reason my show open didn't come on, so I was checking with that to see what was happening, but nevertheless, I'm on the line and want to say happy Thanksgiving to everyone who's listening. I want to thank you so much for listening this evening. I want to thank you so much. And look forward to spending a few minutes with you. I'm going to share a few things from the word of the Lord, from a prophecy that the Lord gave me this fall. And then afterwards, I'll open the lines. And if there's people who want to receive prophetic ministry or want to share a testimony, anything of that nature, you can do so then. When I open up the lines, my phone number is 347-996-3442. That's 347-996-3442. You can come on the line and receive prayer. If you have any ministry needs, I love to minister to you then, and we'll move forward. So, and also too, if you have friends who you think might benefit from ministry tonight, I would encourage you to ask them to call in. They can log on to blogtalkradio.com/Prophet Kyle T. Miller, and they can get online and listen, or they can call the guest call-in number at 347-996-3442. That's 347-996-3442. All righty. I wanted to share with you, and I know I haven't been on the blog for a while. I've been really, really busy, and I'm planning to have more of a presence. But I really did want to share with you a prophetic word that I received while I was ministering at a church in Memphis. I was at the Dwelling Place International Church, which is in Arlington, Tennessee, which is right outside of Memphis. I guess you could call it a suburb of Memphis, on August the 28th. And I had just got through delivering my message. And as usual, the prophetic anointing came upon me. And at that time, the Lord began to have me prophesy. And it had me speak some things that, to be honest with you, some of it was kind of uncomfortable for me. But let me say this, to put this all in context before I start reading the word, because I really see it. I really see the prophetic word that God gave me for the upcoming season was in basically three sections. One was a section where he was sharing what he wanted to do with the body of Christ and how he was wanting to deliver us and heal of us some wounds and remove some of the heaviness that was upon our life. And then the second section, he began to share with me about a revival that he's planning to move through Hollywood. And then the third part of the word, he began to share with me concerning some impact from our most previous elections. And let me say this too. I'm not, I don't particularly subscribe to one political party or another. I do tend to lean, and I'll just be honest with you, in my biases, I do tend to lean probably a little bit more conservative because of my faith, and for whatever reason, one political party tends to line up a little bit more with conservative beliefs than the other party does. And so in some ways I do have some leanings in that area. But I personally do not believe that ministers of the gospel should ascribe to one political party or the other. And the reason why I say this, I'm not saying that we shouldn't go out and vote. I'm not saying that we shouldn't support political figures. But what I'm saying is I don't think that us as ministers of the gospel, especially prophetic people, people who hear the mind and the voice of God, I don't think that we should specifically endorse political candidates. And the reason why I believe that is because, you know, God, he exists outside of political parties. You know, God's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. God basically is for everyone. And so sometimes it's kind of difficult when you advocate for one political party or another, and then let's say God is really sharing something with you in an area where he's trying to do something that goes against your political persuasion. Well, what typically happens is that a lot of times prophets, prophetic people, they get hindered and they're not really able to adequately minister in those areas because God may be saying something that goes against their political persuasion or their political ideology, you know. And so I don't ever want to be so hemmed up to a political persuasion that if God is saying something to me, I'm not able to administer it. And, you know, I think that's, in saying that, I think that's really something very significant that we must remember. You know, a very anointed, very solid, a very respected prophet, Kim Clement, went on to go to the Lord yesterday. You know, he graduated from this walk here on earth and graduated into heaven. And one thing that really set Kim Clement, you know, apart from other prophets is that Kim Clement was always very comfortable and prophesying whatever the Lord was saying. You know, Kim was very vocal about prophesying about President Obama's election into office, the issues that Obama was going to encounter, and how we as a body of Christ were supposed to respond to Obama. I don't think a lot of people really listened to, they didn't, I don't think that a lot of people always regarded Prophet Kim, you know, in those areas, because, you know, a lot of times he had a lot of things to say about us as believers and how we should be responding in accordance to, you know, President Obama, and even just praying for him and lifting him up. So, with that being said, I'm going to share this prophetic word that the Lord gave me. And this was the first part of it, and this is what the Lord said. He said, God says, I'm breaking things. I'm releasing you. I'm releasing you into your joy. You're even going to see the happiness that you have been expecting to see. The heaviness is lifting off of you. I am lifting it. I am removing it off of you. I'm snatching that cloak of darkness from off of you, and I'm bringing my spirit of rest upon you, my spirit of peace upon you, my spirit of joy upon you. You will carry my peace wherever you go, not as the world gives, but the peace that comes through my Son, Jesus Christ. I'm filling you with my peace, and you will see remarkable change. You will see things take place in your life that you have not seen from this day forward, because I'm removing you out of the old, and I'm bringing you into the new. And then as the Lord gave me that prophetic word, you know, I began to see a light, and, you know, and I saw this light, and it began to illuminate, and it got brighter and brighter. And then the Lord said, I'm illuminating my glory into your soul. You will see change take place. You will see change take place. And then the Lord said, you know, I'm healing the areas of your soul so that you can have perfect sleep. Be joyful in me. Be courageous. Be strong and courageous. In these days to come, you will be my carriers of my life. My life will shine in darkness. I'm going to take you in places where the church has not gone before. I'm going to take you into some areas that Satan has claimed as his dominion so that my people will know who I am. And I started, you know, reflecting on that, and I really think what God is saying is this, you know, a lot of the areas where it seems as though the enemy has had a foothold, whether that's the entertainment industry, the sports industry, the artistic industry, any of these areas, God is now saying he's going to begin to start filling those places with his spirit. You know, typical places where we always think of as being carnal or worldly or things of that nature, God is saying that now I'm about to raise up a degree and a dimension of anointed people who are going to go into these areas of darkness. Because, you know, the situation has been a lot, for the most part, in the church. Either, you know, God anoints us and then we go into these areas of darkness, whether it's the entertainment, the film, whatever industry that is. And then after a while, we begin to start looking and sounding and acting like them. And so we basically become indoctrinated with their spirit, and then we're no longer able to, or we're ineffective in leading those people to Christ because we look exactly like they do. And so what God is saying is that he's now raising up this generation of people, and these people are going to go into these areas of darkness. They're not going to compromise their Christian beliefs. As the scripture says, they're going to be in the world, but not of the world. And they're going to assimilate themselves in the world, but they're not going to become part of the world. And they're going to take, or I should say, we're going to take that light, and we're going to go into these areas of darkness. And that light is going to begin to start illuminating those dark areas. And we're going to begin to start seeing bucket loads of people, droves of people begin to get saved and give their hearts to the Lord. Because, you know, I think you probably understand this, you know, those people who listen to my show or follow my ministry, you know that, you know, that most people are not going to church. And, you know, we thank the Lord for the church, and we need strong churches. And churches basically serve as areas and locations where people can grow in God and become stronger in God. But us using the church as our primary method of leading people to the Lord, we're probably going to have to retool that and refashion that for this season, because so many of God's people, or people that God has claimed to be his, are not going to the church. So what God is going to do is he's going to begin to put his anointing in a stronger measure upon people like us who are called to the world. And then we're going to go into those areas of darkness, and we're going to begin to start leading people to the Lord and witnessing to people and getting people saved. And, you know, when I look at prophetic words and prophecy, I always like to put them in a scripture context. And so the Lord brought to my attention Isaiah 61:3, a familiar passage. I'm sure you remember it. Starting is Isaiah 60, starting in verse 1. Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. So we see right there that what God is saying is that, you know, he's going to raise up this generation of people. These people are going to be carriers of his light, and then us as his carriers of light, people are going to come, and they're going to come to the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. Amen. Praise God. So that was the first section of the prophecy. Then he shared with me another portion that's in agreement with Isaiah, you know, 60:1-3, which I just read. And the Lord said this. He said, even look in the entertainment world and see a big change take place. You will begin to start seeing recognizable stars, even people that at one time it was questionable what their faith was, become outspoken for me. You will start to see them come to my light. They will be big spokespeople for me. There's not going to be any more of this covert stuff where you are not sure where they stand with me. They are going to become very outspoken. They are going to become very outspoken for me. It's going to seem as though overnight, you know. And so basically the Lord was saying is that, you know, we've always had Christians in Hollywood. You know, I think in times, you know, there's been seasons where basically the Christians have kind of been undercover. It was kind of ambivalent, kind of vague where they stood. But God is saying that He's about to raise up a group of people in Hollywood that are going to be very vocal for Christ. And the thing that I thought was also interesting was, you know, as I began to meditate on this after I ministered this word, you know, Lord began to clarify to me too that these people who are coming, you know, they're going to come to God within Hollywood are going to be A-list people. They're going to be A-list actors. You know, they're going to be recognizable names that everybody knows. So it won't just be, oh, yeah, you remember the guy who played on so-and-so and you had to think about it for a while. I mean, it's going to be, we're going to see recognizable name brand A-list actors, you know, giving their heart to the Lord. You know, somebody like, I'm not saying Tom Cruise, but somebody like a Tom Cruise or somebody like a Tom Hanks or somebody, you know, like a Julia Roberts. and these people may already be Christians, you know, but the Lord is saying that people like that, these A-list type actors are going to come to the Lord, and they're not going to be covert about it where you got to question and wonder, oh, I wonder if they're saved or not. I wonder if this person's a Christian. These people are going to become very, very vocal, and you're going to know that they're Christians, you know. So I thought that was pretty amazing as well. Okay, guys, and remember, I'm going to open up the phone lines in about 15 minutes. You can call in at 347-996-3442, 347-996-3442. I want to share with you the next part. Now, this part was kind of controversial. You know, Lord began to minister this part of the prophecy, and I was really kind of uncomfortable about it, primarily because, I don't endorse political parties. I don't, you know, just for the record, I'm a registered independent. You know, I vote Republican. I've voted for some Democrats. You know, I'm a registered independent. But I did want to share with you this. I thought that was really interesting. Now, I received this prophetic word in August. So this was before. You know, everything happened with Hillary and the emails. This was before Donald Trump and he, you know, the leaked audio on Access Hollywood. Now, this was before all of this stuff, you know. And the Lord said this. He said, look to this election. Even in this election, you're going to see things get darker. Well, that definitely happened. Fear not, but know that my grace will shine even in this election. My word is going to rise up throughout the nation. Even in the Democratic Party, you will see a shift begin to take place. Even in the Democratic Party, you will begin to see a shift take place with some of the main carriers who have been on the fringe, on the outskirts, and who have even supported other areas that are not like me. You will see a change begin to take place, and you will even see this party become more vocal concerning who I am and who Jesus is. I've spoken it on this day. You can begin to expect it because, remember, I am not the God of just the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, or the Independent Party. I am the God of all parties, and no party has preeminence over who I am. I love all souls, and all souls will be mine, said the Lord. Amen. And so I sent this newsletter out to several of the you know, the newsletters that print my articles, and, you know, and I really appreciate that. But none of the places that typically print my articles would print this one. And I think probably one of the reasons why was because I think they may have misunderstood the prophecy, because I think they may have been thinking that I was endorsing Hillary Clinton, or I was saying that I was prophesying that Hillary Clinton was going to win. I never prophesied that. I don't you know, and this is just my personal opinion, I don't think that's what prophets need to be doing. I don't think that we should be endorsing political candidates or getting overly preoccupied on prophesying who's going to win. I don't really think that that's our job as a prophet. I think that what was really most significant about that prophetic word was God was basically saying that he's about to move within the Democratic Party. And, you know, I think sometimes we've always thought that, and I don't know where this came aboard, but that, you know, the Republican Party is for God and the Democratic Party is for atheists or whatever. But, you know, God loves all people. You know, God is not a Republican. God is not, like he said in that prophetic word, he's not a Democrat. You know, God loves all people. And as that prophetic word was saying, you know, all souls will be mine. And so I thought that it was pretty fascinating. And let me share this too. When I had the prophecy transcribed, I transcribed out, you know, my comments. But when the Holy Spirit came upon me, he told me to, you know, when the Lord started ministering to me and telling me that he was about to do a revival in the Democratic Party, I broke down at the pulpit because I don't consider myself to be a political prophet. I don't like getting, you know, prophesying into politics and stuff like that, because I think that basically for most of us, I think that you know, the prophetic has gotten too intertwined into political parties. And I think that when we get that attached or integrated, you know, within political parties, then it puts us at a place where we can't effectively hear God. You know, because let's say, for instance, let's say, I advocate for the Republican Party, and just like in this word, God then says, you know, I want to do a revival within the Democratic Party. You know, a lot of prophets would not prophesy that, or they would have a lot of difficulty in prophesying that because they're so closely aligned, you know, to one political party. Or let's say if, you know, on the flip side, let's say, you know, I'm a Democrat, and God says, I'm going to bring judgment to the Republican Party, or we feel like God is going to bring judgment to the Republican Party. You know, because maybe I'm a Democrat, you know, in that situation, I wouldn't have any reservations, or I might not judge that as thoroughly because it's basically something that I want to hear. You see what I'm saying? And that's the issue with prophecy, is that we have to be unbiased. You know what I mean? Because we're not spokespeople for political parties. We're not spokespeople for races, you know, ethnic groups. We're not spokespeople for denominations, you know, or religious persuasions. You know, we're spokespeople for God. So basically, we have to have a heart and a mind that's open to speak and say exactly what thus says the Lord, you know, regardless of who it affects, who it offends, or who, you know, it blesses, so to speak. We have to be mouthpieces for God. And, you know, that's why I'm very sorry about the passing of Kim Clement. It's because Kim Clement was a man that was sent from God who basically was very comfortable, or at least he seemed to be very comfortable at saying what God said, regardless of what people thought, you know. And of course, he experienced a lot of ridicule, and people mocked him, and people they tried to criticize him. But many of the things that he prophesied came to pass. Now, something that was brought to my attention after the election, you know, they were someone from Elijah List or one of the other prophetic newsletters, they were going through some of Kim Clement's archives, and they had found this prophecy that he had administered like in 2000. It was either in 2010 or 2012, but it was between, you know, it was between when Hillary had ran the first time and when she ran this time. And the prophetic word began to share and began to talk about how, you know, Hillary was going to become a person for God. Now, I had never heard this prophetic word. Someone had brought it to my attention after I had administered my word. But it was basically talking about how, you know, God was going to begin to start working within Hillary's heart. And Hillary was going to become on fire for God. And Hillary was going to be a spokesperson for God. You know, she was going to be a major spokesperson for God. So when I saw that prophetic word resurface from 2010 or 2012, it then began to bring some clarity to the prophetic word that I had administered about God doing a revival within the Democratic Party. Now, I want to say something else in closing about this whole election thing. And I'm gonna go to 1 Chronicles 7, 11-15, and then I'm gonna open the phone lines. Looks like I got a few of my people here tonight. We had a few issues with the blog talk, so I think that maybe some people maybe were prevented from joining. But after I get through sharing this, I'm gonna open up the phone lines, and those people who are on tonight, I'm gonna minister to you. But the whole election thing in context and presidents and everything, because I really do believe that we put way too much stock in presidents. And let me put this all in context. You know, when the settlers came from England and they settled the United States, they settled our government as a democracy that would be ruled by the people for the people. And the whole purpose for that was because they wanted to set up a government that was not an aristocracy where they had come from in England, where they had a queen. And so when the pilgrims came to the United States, one of the things that they wanted was they did not want a governmental religion. You know, in England, they had the Church of England. Everybody had to belong to the Church of England. They did not want a governmental church. And so they basically wanted to worship the Lord in freedom. And they also wanted to establish a democracy where the government is ruled by the people instead of by an aristocracy. And so in the framing of the president, you know, the president was never designed to be what people's expectations of what an American president is now. Basically, the president was supposed to be a general overseer, and that's why we had three branches of government, because the president was supposed to be an overseer. Then you were to have your Senate and your House of Representatives, and then they were supposed to keep each other in a check and balance. And then you had that, and then those senators and then the House of Representatives, they came from the various states. So they represented the states and their views. And then you had, you know, the Supreme Court, which is the court that works in concert, which basically affirms the laws that are made in Congress. You know, they basically affirm laws. And that's another thing, too. You know, the Supreme Court is not supposed to make laws. The Supreme Court is supposed to affirm the law and interpret the law, but they're not supposed to make laws. Okay, so I know this is a little civic lesson, but I'm going somewhere with this. So basically now what we've seen is that, you know, just like Israel, you know, Israel had the judges, and then they decided that they wanted to be like all the nations, and they wanted a king. You know, they wanted somebody to tell them what to do. And now what we've done is we've exalted the president's position to a point to where we almost seem kind of like a king. And we basically want that president to solve all of our problems. And so we think that, oh, okay, so, you know, when President Obama, you know, I just use President Obama as an example because he's the outgoing president. So President Obama gets in, he's gonna give us health care. He's going to make my life happy. He's going to deliver me from depression. He's going to help my kids get in college. He's going to help me pay for college. You know, it's like we have all of these expectations of what the president is supposed to do, and that was never the intent purpose of what the president's job was. All the president was supposed to do was be an overseer, you know, while the president provided a checks and balances for Congress. Really, the way the initial Constitution is set up is that really Congress is the one who's really supposed to basically run the country, with the president being as an intermediary or as an overseer. But we've kind of exalted to the president to a place that it shouldn't be. And I'm saying all that to say, you know, whether Hillary Clinton won or Donald Trump won or whoever else wins, you know, basically at the end of the day, our world is not dictated by the leaders that get in. The scripture has basically said that we should set the pattern of how things are supposed to go, not the president. And you're going to say, okay, well, Brother Kyle, what are you talking about? Okay, 1 Chronicles 7:11-15. And I'm going to read through this. So now, and this is really interesting because this is Solomon, and he's just finished building the temple. And you remember Solomon, he took over the kingdom from David. He didn't know exactly what to do. The Lord appeared to him at night and said, Solomon, what do you want from me? Solomon didn't ask for a whole bunch of stuff. Basically said, Lord, give me wisdom so that I can rule God's people. So now Solomon has built the temple that's been promised. The temple would be rebuilt. And then verse 11, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he prosperly effected. Now, that's a whole teaching message in itself. I don't have time to teach right now. Verse 12, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. So God says, you know, God has authority. He can do all these things. He can shut up the heavens and there be no rain. In other words, he can cause the ecological system to be of such to where basically it's no longer effective. You know, we see it all the time. You know, we get the Agri report. They say that the land is dried out. They say that, you know, the crops are bad. They say all these things. So we see right here, God is saying that he reserves the right to do that, you know. And then he says, or if there's locusts that devour the land, if I send pestilence among my people. So the scripture says right here, and I know people don't really like these parts of the scripture because we've kind of now been indoctrinated with this hyper grace message where, you know, God loves me. I can do anything I want to. There's no repercussions for sin. Everything is wonderful, and we're all going to hold hands and sing kumbaya. But really, the scripture never really says that. You know, even in grace, there's judgment. And so right here we see where it basically says that God reserves the right to send judgment. But then this is the part I want you to capitalize on in verse 14 of 1 Chronicles 7. If my people, you hear that? It says, if my people, not unbelievers, not sinners, not wicked people, not, you know, people who are devoid of any type of conscience or morality. But it says, if my people, which that would be us, God's blood-bought, blood-washed, spirit-filled, covenant people, if my people who were called by my name should humble themselves and pray. So, see, he's not even talking about the world. He's saying, if I bring all this judgment right? By bringing judgment. And if my people, you know, if we, the body of Christ, if we will humble ourselves and pray, seek my face, that means we seek his face, and turn from their wicked ways. He's not even talking about the sinner. He's talking about the believer. He's saying that if the believer, if we'll turn from our wicked ways and humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, then the scripture says, then I will hear from heaven. Who's I? That's the Lord. God says, I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now, that's powerful to me, because basically what that scripture is saying is this. The contingency of whether America prospers, America doesn't prosper, it's not contingent upon the president. It's not contingent upon President-elect Trump, failed president attempt Hillary Clinton, President Barack Obama, President George Bush, you know, the list goes on and on and on. This scripture is specifically that our prosperity is contingent upon us, God's believers. And the scripture says that if we will humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, then the scripture says, then God will heal the land and he will bless it. So the reason why, you know, when the economy goes bad or we're not prospering, it doesn't have as much to do with the president. The scripture says that us as his believers, if we will humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, then God will bless the land regardless of who's in office, whether it's Hillary Clinton, whether it's Donald Trump, whether it's whoever, you know, that God will bless regardless, because the predicator on whether America is prosperous is not dependent upon the president. The predicate on whether America is prosperous is on us as his blood-bought believers, if we will turn from our wicked ways and humble ourselves and see God's face and pray. Amen? Amen? Now, another scripture I know that you're very, very familiar with. Another scripture that you're very familiar with. I appreciate you guys for holding on. I see you guys still on the line. I'm going to open the phone lines in a little bit. But, you know, the scripture is very specific. That's very, very, very specific. First Timothy, starting at verse, 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And, you know, the King James says this calls us a call to prayer. But 1 Timothy 2 and 1, it says, first of all, then I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all men. You know, so, you know, now we're in this time of Thanksgiving. So, you know, we need to be giving thanksgiving to President Barack Obama. We need to be giving thanksgiving to our congressional leaders. We need to be giving thanksgiving to our mayors, our governors, those who are in authority. And he goes on in verse 2 and says, for kings and for those in authority, so that we may lead tranquil and quiet lives in all godliness and dignity. This is good and pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. I'm gonna read that again. First of all, then I urge that petition. That means we ask on behalf of somebody for something. Prayers. That means we bless them and seek God for His specific purpose for them. Intercessions. That means we pray for protection, you know, for our leaders. And thanksgiving. That means we thank God for our leaders. Be offered on behalf of all men for kings and for those in authority, so that we may live a tranquil and quiet life in our godliness and dignity. So this is a powerful scripture too. This scripture says right here that when we pray for our leaders, then God will give us a peaceable life. We pray for our leaders. We urge for petition. That means we ask God for things that are going to be good for our leaders. Then we pray for them. We intercede for them. That means we stand on the lookout and pray for protection and pray against areas where the enemy may try to sabotage our leaders. And then we give thanksgiving to our leaders. We thank the Lord for our leaders. We thank the Lord for our mayor, our governor, our congressional people, our legislators. And then it says, and we do this, and we pray for these people in authority that we may lead a tranquil life. So this scripture specifically is saying, too, that when we pray for our leaders, then God is going to give us a peaceable life. Now, I used to look at that scripture, and I would say, okay, so what God is saying is we pray for the leaders, and then the leaders are going to make good decisions, and then we're going to have a peaceable life. That's part of it. But I think what that scripture is saying more than anything is this, that there is a prayer of protocol, if you will, to where when we pray for those people who are in authority, then God will start working out all the things that are going on in our lives. You see what I'm saying? And you know, and that sounds so much like God, because the whole kingdom of God is set up on seed time and harvest. We sow, and then we reap a harvest. And whatever, and like the scripture says, you know, God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he reaps. So now I'm sowing time and prayer, intercessions, supplications, intercessions on behalf of President Obama, President-elect Trump, you know, my senators, my governor, my mayor. And then God says, then in turn, I'm going to make sure that you have a peaceable life. I'm going to make sure that your life is peaceable. You see what I'm saying? So I want to just bring all this in closing. So when we get all upset and we get all in a tether because Trump won or Hillary Clinton, you know, did this or did that, or this congressperson or this mayor or this governor, you know, at the end of the day, the scripture says that we set the tone. It's our prayers, it's our intercession that cause us to have a peaceful life, and it's our prayers and it's our intercessions that cause us to be blessed by the Lord. You know, I wish that all of your friends could be listening to this tonight, because it probably would save you some arguments, that it would have saved you some arguments at the Thanksgiving table tonight, you know, if we understand this. You know what I mean? Should we be passionate about what we believe in? Absolutely. Should we exercise our right to vote? Absolutely. I'm not saying that it doesn't matter that you don't vote because, you know, hey, God going to do what he's going to do anyway. But with that being said, you know, I truly believe that most of our leaders in America are leaders that God gives us. You know, the scripture is pretty specific in Daniel. Hold on a second, I'm going to read this. I'm going to read one more scripture. And y'all, I'm putting all this in context so that you can understand this. I want to read this scripture. It's in Daniel. Okay, yeah, here we go. Daniel 2:21. I'm reading from Daniel chapter 2:21, and it says, "It is he," and he that's talking about God, "it is he who changes the times and the epochs," or you could say the season. "He removes kings." That's God. "He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in darkness, and the light dwells with him." But the thing that I think is so incredibly significant about that is that it is he, that's God, he changes the times and the ethics, and he removes kings and he establishes kings. So the scripture clearly says right there, and I know this is very controversial with some people, but the scripture is pretty clear. It says that God basically puts our leaders in, and he removes leaders. I mean, you think about it. Now, I'm going to cause you to think about some stuff. Okay, we think about Barack Obama, and this is just in America. We think of Barack Obama, you know, an African-American male becoming president. You know, do you think that that really could have happened had that not been God? I'm just gonna call you to think about that. Do you think that Barack Obama could have really became president had it not been for the Lord? You know, God puts our leaders in. Now you say, well, then it doesn't matter whether we vote or not. No, absolutely not, because that's our social responsibility to vote. You know, that's part of our inalienable rights, as the Constitution says, you know, to vote. You know, but think about that. Or Donald Trump. You know, all the polls said that Donald Trump was losing. You know, if we would looked at the polls, Hillary Clinton would have won by a landslide. And even still, you know, we have a system built on electoral college, where basically each of the states are given a certain amount of representation. But yet, when you look at the popular vote, so far Hillary Clinton has gotten over 2 million more votes than Donald Trump has. So technically, if you just looked at the total number of votes that have been collected, Hillary Clinton won, and yet she's the president, and yet Donald Trump is the president, or he's the president-elect. So the point I'm trying to make is, as you can see, that God obviously has a lot more in a say-so in our leadership than we think he does. And whether you like it or not, unless something changes, you know, unless the Electoral College comes in, you know, there's some talk about that people are challenging the Electoral College, but that's probably not going to happen unless, you know, God is doing something we don't know about. But otherwise, God put, you know, I'm pretty comfortable in saying that. God put Donald Trump in office. Why did he put him in office? I don't know. Did he put him in office because he's God's man, and God is doing a work in Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is going to be good for the nation and turn our economy around and do all these great things? Or, you know, did God put Donald Trump in office so that, you know, America would turn their hearts back towards God? You know, I don't know. I don't know that, but I do know that regardless of what the situation is, we're supposed to pray for our leaders. The scripture says that we're to pray for those who are in authority over us, that we may have a peaceful life. And the scripture says that basically no matter who's in office, the economy, the earth does not turn at the beat of the president, but it turns at the beat of us as his believers. And that we, who are called by his name, we'll humble ourselves and pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, then the Lord will hear from heaven, and he will heal our land. Amen. Praise God. So I'm hoping I've put a little bit of context on everything tonight, and maybe you feel a little bit better about this election season and everything else that's going on. All righty. I don't know if anyone can still call in, but if you can call 347-996-3442. I'm going to open up the phone lines and visit with you now. All right, caller, your last four digits are 2259. You're live and on air with Beauty Fashion's Prophet Kyle.
Okay, so I'm calling for a word from God, because God, you know, he speaks to me and stuff, and I guess he was basically telling me something about going into battle. And I'm just really confused right now, so I just really need some clarity, you know, now, through
a
word.
I have a word for you, but what are you confused about?
Well, like, I'm trying to figure out how, like, I've been reading the Bible and everything that he's been, but I feel like I still don't have it right, and then I just need some clarity. That's what I need.
Okay, well, I feel the Lord saying, you know, as the scripture says, study, show yourself approved, a workman not being shamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And God says that you're going to find the truth in his word. And God says that his scripture was going to bring clarity to you. The Lord says that a lot of the conflict is, it's like he speaks something to you, then you hear somebody teach something. And then sometimes what they're teaching is not the same as what you've heard from him. So what the Lord says, make sure that everything that you, that when he's speaking it to you, make sure that you're balancing all of that with his word. And God says that when you do that, God says he's not going to allow you to be ashamed. God also says that a lot of the battle is going to be won. Let me say this first, and then I'll let you speak. God says a lot of your success is going to come in your intercession, and not as much spiritual warfare as it is in your fellowship. Because God says that you're spending that time in fellowship with him, God, he's going to begin to start navigating and working all the other stuff out. So you come out, you go into the prayer time in your worship and you're spending time with him. While you're doing that, God is already working out all these other things that are going on. And you're going to find that your life is going to just become a whole lot easier, because as you continually solidify your connection with him, he's going to guide you out of a lot of stuff. And you're going to find yourself, even when you're praying, you're just going to instantly know, you know what, I don't need to do that today. Or, you know, I don't think I'm going to connect in this situation today, because you're just going to know it. And the final thing is, the Lord says that he speaks to you a lot through your inner witness. You know, that inner, you know, people call it the gut, the gut,
yep.
You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. He speaks to you a lot that way. So God says, just follow that. And God says, more often than not, you're going to be moving in the right direction.
Okay, thank you so much.
Amen.
God bless.
Amen. God bless you. You have a good evening.
Yep, you too.
Bye-bye. All right, caller, your last four digits, 1799.
Hello, Prophet.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
I'm good.
This
I'm
is
good.
Catherine.
Hey, Catherine, you got any questions, concerns, comments? Or?
No, God has been speaking to me heavy. He's been revealing stuff that haven't. He reminded me, like he spoke to me a long while back, that God was going to bring things to my remembrance, and he's been overloading me with things that he had been did. He said, don't you remember when you asked this? And I did it exactly what you asked. I said, yeah, Lord, I remember. So,
wow.
I mean, my spirit's been downloaded heavy, because he's reminded me years of things that I asked him. And he did it exactly when I asked him.
Yeah. Wow. That's good. Well, amen. Well, I appreciate your support of the ministry. And what'd you say now, Kim?
He's reminding me that he is still faithful and to hold on to what he told me, that he's there, and just hold on, keep holding on, to just never give up.
Yes, right. That's right. Amen. Well, I appreciate your faith, and I appreciate you for sharing your testimony.
Okay, God bless you, and I hope you had a lovely Thanksgiving today.
Had a good Thanksgiving. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I had one. I had a blessed one.
Good. You didn't eat too much food, did you?
No. I need to put on a couple pounds.
Oh, okay.
So if I obeyed, it was a good thing.
Well, good.
To reach
my
goal
for the year.
Okay. Enjoy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for your ministry.
You're welcome. Thank you, Catherine. Okay, last caller for this evening. Your last four digits are 1152. You're on the air with Beauty Fashion. Hello. Hello. Okay. Well, I guess they were listening. Now they've kind of gone away. But anyway, I want to thank you all for listening to Beauty Fashions. I will repost this broadcast, and make sure you share it with your friends. Let your friends know when I'm coming on. I'm back on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. So I'll be returning. Also, too, you know, keep in mind, you know, If you would like to participate in the prophetic phone call, you can go to my website. That's where you can speak to me one-on-one for privately from 30 minutes to 15 minutes. And this time you come and you share what it is that you want to know from the Lord while I also minister to you prophetically. Those phone calls are recorded, and then I send you a copy of the recording so you can listen to the personal prophecy. I then have, you know, my you can request a prophetic word. And then also, too, you know, now we're getting ready to move into 2017. You can receive a prophetic word concerning the next 12 months if you want to receive a prophetic word for 2017. Basically, in those words, when you sow the seed, I actually seek the Lord for you concerning the next 12 months of your life. And then you'll receive basically different things that you can expect to look forward to happening over the next 12 months. So anyway, I want to thank you again so much for listening. I love you so much. And you guys have an awesome evening and happy Thanksgiving.